This is a replay of the Wednesday night, April 26th WGN show. We started right at 10. If you don't hear yourself on it, it's because you didn't call. I hope you'll rectify that soon. We're live Monday through Thursday evenings unless sports preempt us. That's from 10 to 1 Central. Dial 888-876-5593. My toll-free number from OneVoIP for the world's best customer service. It's OneVoIP. And they've got the neatest app where your VoIP phone can take text messages too. Check them out at the number 1-VOIP.com. You'll be really glad you did.
Direct from the edge of the lunatic fringe, it's the Raleigh James Show.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. We have 3 hours to spend together, and there's plenty on my mind, as usual. I think you've got a few things to share, too. So 888-876-5593, 8888-Raleigh. It's ironic because John and I talked about this topic earlier tonight, and then when I connected to WGN, engineer Adam said, just a terrible night, probably food poisoning, and I thought, oh, God, yeah, I'm no stranger to that alarming regularity, to say the least. But how it all started was earlier in the day, John said, what's wrong with grocery store sushi? And I said, what is prompting this question? And he said, well, I was just reading some diet tips, and it said that the worst thing you could possibly do was eat grocery store sushi. Now, I couldn't get out of him the context of this comment, because my first thought was, well, if it makes you sick, that'd be great for a diet because you won't be eating for days. On the other hand, I would assume that the content of the sushi probably is not necessarily diet friendly, with the rice and the sugar and all the other things. I'm not sure, but this led me to waltz down memory lane of the strangest things people have done in the name of weight loss. And I realize for some people it's not a choice, particularly those in the public eye, actresses and other television personalities who are expected to maintain a certain weight, and basically it's a contract killer if they don't. So they're, you know, the guns to their head, so to speak, and they're willing to do very, very stupid things. There's really no other way to phrase that. The first thing is, of course, all of the bizarre diets, and I've got right out of this week's National Enquirer, true confessions on several people, from Jennifer Aniston to Beyonce, on what they're doing in the name of weight loss. But all of them have one thing in common, and that's you can't do it forever. So if you're looking for the quick fix where you'll drop a sudden amount of weight, it's not going to be good for your body, but it can be done. But don't think that this is a diet that you're going to adopt as even unhealthy living. You just won't keep there. But some of them are just completely out there, where you say, what on earth? And I remember working with a guy in Los Angeles, of all things, who needed to lose weight quickly for reasons that I don't know, but he had gained quite a bit of it. And so he went on the all pickle and yogurt diet, and that's all he ate for months. And oh, he lost the weight too. Some about a year later, he'd gained it all back, because you can't just eat pickles and yogurt forever. Well, so I was looking at, firstly, Jennifer Aniston's name I know, but I don't know who Chris Pratt is. Maybe you do. I think he was on Guardians of the Galaxy, whatever that may be. And he was talking about his 21-day biblically inspired diet, the Daniel diet. And he said, I just ate foods grown from a seed. You know, I would never be eating anything because I don't know what that would be. I'm sure I could probably look it up and find that. But in general, I would assume that wouldn't that be all fruits and vegetables? I don't know. And yeah, I realize no animal products or leavened bread or any of that kind of stuff. But food grown from the seed. And he said it helped draw him closer to God. Yeah, I'd be praying to God for a good meal after 21 days of that. Beyonce went with the juice-only menu, the Master Cleanse, dropped 20 pounds. Yeah, right. And that's where you swear off all solid food for 10 days and just have a lemon juice, maple syrup, and cayenne pepper. I'm going to vomit just reading it. But, of course, yeah, don't try this at home. I will say that some of these people are healthy enough to survive it, but not everybody would. Dieting like that, you know, constant yo-yo dieting and dieting of the weirdest stuff under the planet, first thing you can do is kiss your gallbladder goodbye, and then you can probably worry a little bit about your liver and maybe your kidneys. It's altogether not healthy. We've got Patricia Heaton. Everybody loves Raymond. And she lost 60 pounds at the height of her fame. And bottom line is, she said, I just had to starve. And I don't know what she did, all other than she said, I just ate cabbage soup. Nothing but cabbage soup. For 60 pounds worth. Yeah. So I'm curious what you've done in the name of dieting. And also, what is it that caused you the food poisoning attack of your life? And like I say, I get them with alarming regularity, so I could probably name off the top of my head 20 things that have caused me to that's where you're not afraid you're going to die, you're afraid you're not going to die. Yeah, where you're spending most of your time in the bathroom and thinking, I'm erupting from places I didn't even know I had. Yeah, it's just like that. And, you know, I think over the years, and it can be anything, by the way, as far as that goes. And, you know, we won't go into the discussion of what is food poisoning and how that happens and all, but you know darn well that you eat something and it turns your stomach and that's the end of your life for a day or so. So we hope that Adam's going to recover quickly. But, boy, yeah, been there, done that all the time. Now, we have Aaron Rodgers, who apparently the gridiron great, so we'll assume sports. And he went with Panchakarma. And that's Indian as far as Vedic dieting. To lubricate and cleanse the digestive system and balance your elements or energies. You eat warm butter in the morning, herbal laxatives at night. And in between you have some rice, mung beans, and vegetables. Yeah, probably want to stay close to the bathroom for that. We have Christina Aguilera. Yeah, and she has the 7-day color diet, which lets you chow down on food of one color only for each day of the week. You see, now this would be a problem because, you know, she said you begin with white, and I'm thinking, oh, good, a loaf of toast. It moves up to red, green, orange, purple. I guess she likes eggplant. Yellow and rainbow in that order. And she said she's dropped 40 pounds in 3 months by continuing on the 7-day color diet, which obviously for 3 months is a lot more than 7 days. And apparently she's hungry. Yeah, I probably didn't have to add that. Now, Jennifer Aniston had a different way to go about it completely. She just went with the no chew challenge, where you just don't chew. Which means, of course, you're eating a lot of baby food. 14 servings of pureed fruits and vegetables daily. Yes, and apparently, those who believe in this particular diet says it reduces body toxicity. Lady Gaga and Gwyneth Paltrow also opt for this. Yes, the mushy baby food diet. So curious what you've done in the name of dieting. And did it work, by the way? Because, of course, you know, we often talk about how to get rich. I was just taking a look at the list of Forbes the 25 richest people in the world. Interesting list. But we're always looking for a way to, get our claim to riches. And I'll tell you what, I think if you could come up with a perfect diet, that's it. You'd be in clover. But as far as I know, just eating in moderation and eating healthy is probably the way to go. Though I must say, I was saying to John before the show, I don't know what it is I've done wrong, which when it comes to my health, I just have to breathe. But I am now, no matter what I eat, it doesn't matter day or night, doesn't matter when I eat it or what it is, I get instantly exhausted. Yeah, fatigue, like you wouldn't believe it. Of course, John's answer is, have a Coke. I'm like, yeah, well, that may be a short-term fix, but something tells me it's in the long term not helping the situation. So curious about that. And by the way, some of this did come from the Inquirer. So that's right. We've got slime from the checkout line and more. Or your calls. Your choice. 888-876-5593 on WGN Radio. Oh, wait. It's my turn. And see, I knew that. I had that right in front of me. And it's a pleasure to talk about it because Adam said, talk about the CC Solar in your first break. And indeed, the Sea Crane Company, I mention all the time that Bob Crane should be knighted because when he discovered how lousy reception was in radios that were currently being built several years ago, he determined that he was going to come up with radios that had the kind of reception we enjoyed in the 50s and 60s where he just got everything. And boy, did he. But in addition to that, everything that Bob Crane designs has features you don't find anywhere else. And one of the most unique is the CC Radio Solar because this is the quintessential emergency radio because it will work no matter what. You see, the problem with emergency anything is usually dead batteries. You know, your flashlight, lights go out, you look for the flashlight, no batteries. Well, same thing with radios that run on batteries. Very often, no batteries. So the CC Radio Solar, you put it in the sunlight, like on a windowsill or something, and it will play. But now let's say, by the way, I shouldn't gloss over that because it is a really neat feature, and it works terrific. You can, you know, if you've had it in a sunny window for a while, you can listen for days with this. And it'll store enough energy to bring your dead cell phone battery back to life as well. Talk more about that in a minute. But so let's say you didn't put it in the windowsill and your batteries are dead and you've got the optional power supply, but the power's off. What do you do then? Well, see, that's where this is magnificent because you can hand crank it for, you know, about 20 seconds. It's going to play for over 20 minutes and it's just wonderful. So, and it's got a light. That's right. So when you have that inevitable powerless moment, well, this is one that's just terrific. You'll have AM and FM with extremely good reception, and you'll have, you know, light and the ability, like I say, it will charge a cell phone. Now, you're never going to use this every day for your cell phone usage, but in that pinch where you got to make that one important call, it'll get you there, which is really nice. And so when normal communication is down, nice to have something. And by the way, this is a great radio all the time anyway. It's got a really nice design. It's got 5 one-touch memories with superior reception. Like I say, can't gloss over that because the reception is just terrific and excellent audio. Well, go to ccradio.com and read about it yourself. ccradio.com, the CC Radio Solar, the perfect emergency radio. Or if you want, call them on the phone. They're there 24 hours a day with real customer service. 800-522-8863. 800-522-TUNE. And this week, free standard shipping on all orders above $75. That's a little cost saving, too. That's kind of nice. So ccradio.com or 800-522-8863. It's the CC Radio Solar. You tell them Raleigh sent you on WGN Radio.
Little piece of lemon, but he's well put together. He's mine.
He's mine. He's mine.
But he's mine. He walks the street and shows it he's mine.
He's mine. He's mine.
He's mine.
Yes, yes.
Oh, he's mine.
Yes, yes. Yes, he's mine.
He's mine.
Yes, yes. Yes, he's mine.
You better know. You better know he's mine.
elbows are stopping and their eyes go to popping. He's mine.
WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James. That's Bernadine. Yeah, New Orleans' own, 1962 on Imperial. It was Fran who requested that, and we're going to get Fran here in a moment. I've got the Chantel's record she requested as well. And but first, we got to follow up on the letter. Now, you'll remember that Leah and Albert's daughter, ostensibly wrote them a letter inviting them to a celebration at the Seventh-day Adventist Church. And not only did they not know that she was Seventh-day Adventist, turns out she's not, but she hadn't spoken to her father, Albert, in years. And so it was like, what's up with this letter? Now, Leah sent me the letter, and I read it. And yes, for the special event of the Memorial of Jesus Christ's death, the Lord's Evening Meal, also known as the Lord's Supper. And this is a very, very big deal, particularly in the actually, it's not Seventh-day Adventists, it's Jehovah's Witnesses, in the Jehovah's Witness religion. But I don't think, well, A, we've determined already that Albert's daughter didn't write it. But so now we were leaving Leah with the task of calling Kingdom Hall today and finding out about this. So, all right, Leah, did you call?
No, I'll tell you why.
I can't wait to hear this.
It's so stupid, you won't believe it. I mean, it's just so unbelievable.
Okay.
Well, Albert gave me the letter back, and I was going to call, and then he gave me the envelope, too, and I put the letter in the envelope, and I happened to look at the envelope, and I noticed that it said, Albert Pearson, Mr. Albert Pearson, or current resident.
Okay. All right. So that's your typical outreach. And like I say, Jehovah's Witnesses do an outreach to the public. So
the fact that it was her name and her first initial just happened to be a coincidence.
Well, right. And not only that, when your name is Smith, that's got to be a good portion of the world. So T. Smith.
Yeah, and her first initial is just a coincidence.
Right. Now, let me ask you this. There is also an email address there. I was wondering if you had checked that out as well, because chances are that's not hers.
Yeah, no. And it's not that she hadn't talked to him in years. She's talked to him.
Oh, she has.
Okay. No, yeah. They have a...
All right. Well, that's good.
They have a relationship. Yeah. But yeah, because I never saw it, because what I first saw on the envelope was Albert Pearson, and I saw T. Smith, and I thought, oh, that's from his daughter, so let me just give it to him. Mm-hmm.
No. All right. So yeah, this was your basic outreach. But, if they're writing to Albert, who clearly is not a member of the flock...
Clearly.
How many people did they send this letter to?
I'd like to know how many people are going, too.
yeah, because, well, it happened already, by the way. It was April 4th.
Yeah, I know, it was April.
So, yeah.
At first I thought it said April 1st.
Well, that's
April Fool's joke?
No, that was the 10 a.m. local Kingdom Hall special talk.
Okay.
How you can face the future with confidence. Then it was the special occasion of April 4th, the Lord's Supper.
Oh, okay.
So,
yeah,
what I really liked, if for reasons beyond your control you are not able to attend in person, you can contact me for information so you can attend via Zoom. Uh-huh.
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh.
So,
yes, we can brainwash you at home.
Well, regardless of that. So I'm looking at this, and there is no way that, in fact, it was anything other than an outreach letter. But it's a great story. Hang on a minute. Don't go away. All right. So, yeah, I thought it was going to be a great practical joke. And, well, maybe you still think it is. I'll leave that to you. We'll be back to Leah. We've got Fran as well, and there's room for you, too, on WGN Radio.
Tell me you are heartbeat.
Raleigh James. Of course, that's the Chantels. That was their first hit on Carlton, 1961. And of course, they wound up on Joe Carlton's label because by then, George Goldner had somewhat self-destructed. But originally, they were on George's End, and they also had a few things on George's Gone. And Richie Barrett was the force behind the Chantels, and he wrote Look in My Eyes. And it was, in fact, a friend who had requested that as well. We know it's one of Scotty's faves, and we're very worried about Scotty. We have no information, but we will within the next 30 days, because like I say, I have someone who has volunteered to go by and find out, and hopefully he's just been indisposed rather than no longer with us. All right, so we're back to Leah. And the letter, I can only imagine how many people got it. And since the Kingdom Hall in question was in Delaware, not all that far from you, but nonetheless, not around the corner either. So they got a few zip codes in this letter writing campaign.
Yeah, well, if you notice the return address, it's all the way at the top, and it says Ridley Park.
Yeah. Well, there's...
So that's where I sent my letter to.
Oh. Well, there's probably many different locations, but the invites were to a couple places, as you know, in Delaware. So sure the turnout was, in fact, wonderful. But yes, all right. Oh. Mystery solved and not nearly as good as I was hoping.
Right. I know. I wanted to really call there, too.
Oh, well.
I know. It would have been fun. It would have been a fun conversation, but...
So I know, Leah, I know whether it's diets or other odd things, you probably have a story here somewhere.
Oh, God. So what haven't I done to lose weight? let's see. Before they diagnosed me with polycystic ovarian syndrome, so I didn't know the reason I wasn't losing weight like everybody else. My best friend and I would go on a diet, and she'd lose weight, and I wouldn't, and I had no idea why. But I had PCOS the whole time and didn't know it.
So with that in mind, of course, your dieting had to become more extreme by the moment. What's the oddest thing you tried?
Well, I went on an oatmeal diet once, oatmeal three times a day. That's 200 calories a meal.
That's not terrible.
I was on the Fen-Phen, of course. That was in the late 80s.
Yeah, that's unfortunate.
But the real unfortunate thing was in 1985, I was dating this guy named Brian with a Y, how pretentious. And he was a speed freak, and I started doing it with him to lose weight.
Well, it is tried and true. That was something they used to prescribe regularly for this.
Yeah, but I started shooting up speed.
Did you?
I became a junkie.
Did you lose weight?
Oh, yeah. I lost a ton of weight.
Exactly. I almost died in the process, yes.
Yeah. I had to stop. I had to go to NA. Well, I only went to one Narcotics Anonymous meeting, and that scared me so much that I stopped.
All right. So you took 12 steps right out of there. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
I was like, okay, I'm not doing this. I'm stopping.
Yeah, and you did. So congratulations
and I did.
On that. Good.
Yeah. I wasn't really that addicted. It was because it's a mental addiction, not really. It's not like heroin. It's not a physical addiction, so it's easy to stop, you know?
Easy for some people. It depends how addictive your personality is. You know, I mean, for some
people.
It's
like smoking. You just stop. That's how I stopped smoking. Right. I just threw them away and never went back.
Right. And some people can do that. And other people, it's the battle of their lives. So I think it's...
Right.
There's probably some...
That's what food is.
Yeah. Well, probably.
Because food, you have to be around all the time. And with those other things, with drugs and cigarettes, you can just distance yourself from them.
Now, of course, there's food and then there's food. If all you were eating was these vegetables, you probably would be fine. But, of course, all the fast...
I can't do that because I have the diverticulosis.
Yeah. All the fast food manufacturers make stuff taste good anyway, stuff that will not be good for you, but it'll just taste wonderful.
Yeah, I don't eat fast food, but lately, I went on a yogurt diet, and I did lose about 100 pounds.
Wow.
But now, but it was slow, but that's better, and I did, but I couldn't stay on the yogurt. It was like a year, and I couldn't stay on it because I missed chewing.
Wait a minute.
That no-chew thing?
Wait. You stayed on a yogurt diet for a year. Did you eat anything else?
Now and then, but not really. And I was depressed because it was right after my mother died, so it wasn't really hard for me because I was depressed.
I'd be depressed
anyway.
Too, if I thought I had to eat yogurt. All right. Well, did
it
you?
It was Greek yogurt. It was okay. I you know, I just put Splenda in it or whatever. And yeah, and so I just ate that for like 3 or 4 times a day, and that was okay. But now I'm doing soup. I'm making my own soup.
Uh-huh.
And didn't somebody on your list say they were eating soup?
Well, one of them ate nothing but cabbage soup for a year.
I'm eating soup that I make myself. This chicken soup with mushrooms and bone broth. Chicken bone broth, and I just eat that, and I lost 20 pounds last month.
Well,
so.
Congratulations, that's wonderful. Well, we'll see how long you can stay on broth diet. I don't know.
Well, hopefully the Ozambic will help kick up my metabolism. So
I think the key to this actually is that, and these crazy diets sort of tell you, anybody with a variety of methods can lose all the weight they want to. The key comes in keeping it off. You're not going to have soup forever. And so what's the plan when you get to your desired weight, other than to go out and, you know, eat forever? What are you going to do?
Yeah, I don't know. I'm just hoping that the Ozambic will help my metabolism enough that I'll be able to eat just, you know, small, regular meals. And I can't eat. See, when I was young, I used to eat, like, for dinner, like, beets out of the can, spinach out of the can. That would be my dinner.
Uh-huh.
Because I didn't have the diverticulosis or diverticulitis. But now I can't eat vegetables like that. I can't eat any vegetables hardly.
This was a bad thing, but I do understand. All right.
Yeah.
Well, good luck, and good luck on the Ozempic. Keep me posted.
I will. Thank you.
Thanks. Appreciate the call. Yeah. So diet after diet. And like I say, I think anybody who could come up with the answer to how to keep the weight off, that's the money. Man, you can do that. You'll be set for life. But I understand when I read about celebrities on, Heidi Pratt. Don't know her, but she apparently confined herself to raw liver, bison heart, and bull testicles. Okay, then. So, yeah, all right. Probably you don't want to share that with the rest of the class too often. Well, you certainly don't want to share the food. That's one good thing about dieting, by the way, that it's sort of like teaching yourself to love anchovies on pizza. You don't have to share quite as much because there are very few people who are going to going to want you to. All right, so we got TJ. We're going to do some radio questions, and Fran and James, and there's room for you too. And I got the tabloid slime from the checkout line, and more coming up on WGN Radio. WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. And talking about the oddest things you put in your mouth, yeah, in the name of dieting. All right, so also playing some of your requests, and actually it was last night that I had told JT I would play this. And I thought I did, but when I was listening to the replay of the show to put it up for downloading, I realized I never played the volumes. Well, now I have. I Love You, 1961, Columbia, the volumes. All right, so we'll get to Fran, we'll get to James, but TJ is in DeKalb. What's going on tonight, TJ?
Oh, hey, how are you doing tonight?
All right, what's happening? Are
you? Oh, okay, I want to ask, okay, I got three radio questions for you.
Okay.
Number one, the biggest thing is, why have radio stations, top music stations, gotten away from introducing their the records? You know, when they, you remember back in the day,
oh,
if
sure.
you remember, they used to talk over production.
Talk oh, sure.
The
intros.
The introduction,
of course, of course. Yes, and now
and
it's...
Would, and it,
yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I was going to say, now it's much more. Now it's much more like a jukebox. No, many years ago, greater minds than mine, or maybe lesser minds than mine, determined that people knew their favorite records, and you didn't have to tell them. Now, an explanation for why you weren't mentioning the ones you just started to play, I can't begin to tell you. But it fell out of favor with programmers.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. So the programmers didn't get off on it, huh?
Yeah, pretty much. And, you know, there was a lot more limiting talk and all that. So, yes.
Okay, the other question I have, I used to listen to this station a lot when I was living in Chicago, but I was wondering what happened to it, and that's the old WBEE. How do you, don't even know if they're still daytime or if they're, because when I was listening to them back in the 60s, they were...
Oh, sure.
An R&B station on the south side. You couldn't get them on the north side.
You're right. Exactly.
At all.
Exactly. Well, let's see. What can I tell you about BEE? Somebody asked me this a while ago, and I actually made notes, so I see if I can find that. They're still on the air as far as I can tell you. So, but I'll find them here because I have little notes. Of course, having little notes doesn't help much when I don't bother to title the pages. But nonetheless, if I have to, I'll do it from memory. But which would be dangerous. But I could if it comes to it. So let's see what we can find on BEE, because they were around quite a while and are still, as far as I know. So let's see. Here somewhere.
Yeah, when did they come on the air? And...
Yeah, no, I can tell you all that, but one is easy. But their history, and like I say, I've got a really nice write up on them too. So that let's see, this is terrible. And you know, the deal is, you're talking about the 1570, obviously.
Yeah, that's the one. Yeah.
Yeah, the call letters are now in Rochester on FM, BEE FM, but they broadcast jazz for years, and they were in Harvey, and they went, I'm doing this one from memory, but they went gospel around 2003. I'll find out more. I should know this off the top of my head. This is terrible. This is a quiz and I'm failing. But I will, because, you know.
Okay, when you find out this, I'll be listening.
I think the call letters now are BGX.
Oh, okay.
And they're still on the air.
And then,
they are absolutely still on the air.
Are they still daytime?
And, yeah, pretty much, yes. As far as I know, they've got 500 watts at night. And they don't have much. They don't have much in the day either. They got about 1,100, I think, in the day. And you know, they signed on in 1955. They were licensed to Harvey. And then remember for a minute there in 1989, they became WMNN. Oh God, that was a disaster. And then they went back.
Yeah.
They're back to being BEE, and then BGX. I'm almost positive it's still BGX today.
Mm-hmm.
And for a while, the some Cook County politician did mornings there. It was a deal where they had been on VON, And I guess they were discussing Lori Lightfoot or something, and WBON said, you know, you can't keep discussing this. So they wound up going to BGX. And that was like 2000. I doubt they're still there. But yeah, it's been BGX. I don't think it's changed. But after we're off the phone, of course, I'll go look at my my notes. But I'm pretty sure that... WMNN, by the way, when they did that for a minute, it wasn't women, it was Financial News, the Money Network Radio, and that, you know, that, yeah, that lasted like about a minute and a half, and, I mean, literally like less than 2 months or something, and, so that's the deal, they're still there, 1570.
Okay, and then the last radio question is, I used to listen to this station a lot, especially on Sunday nights when DXing was good, and a lot of the stations at that time, you would go off the air for maintenance.
Yeah, of course.
And this was a station, it sounded almost like VON. It was really tight production and everything. It was WWRL.
Oh, of course, in New York, of course, of course. That was a Sonderling station. That was 1600 AM.
Right.
That was around since the 20s. It was really an early, early station. And like a lot of stations that wound up broadcasting some soul, originally they were, you know, brokered type thing. They were ethnic. They did a lot of Spanish. And then they went.
They were like WGS was, right?
Right, exactly. Or OPA, you know, I mean, all that kind of stuff, sure.
Yeah, or WHSC. So, yeah.
So as far as being all R&B, I'd say 64 was when they did that, right around the time that VON did. And they were huge. And, of course, and this was Sonderling. And Sonderling had some good R&B stations. And Frankie Crocker was there in the 60s, but also Jocko Henderson was there in the 60s. And, of course, they were known as the Big RL and Super 16 and all of that.
Yeah, the Big RL, I remember that.
Right.
And they used TM jingles like CFL did.
Yep, and...
I do remember that.
They, in the 60s, I guess it was about 67 or so, they started... adding, for reasons I don't know, they started adding pop hits to the playlist, and then they also started to add some blues things, so you got to hear some Johnny Taylor that you otherwise wouldn't, you know, they were also starting to play oldies, the funny thing was, this is one of the stations that got in trouble with the FCC for running the numbers, and it was a reverend there, James Lofton, who was doing Bible verses, except they were the numbers, and so they didn't lose a license over that, like what happened at WOOC in Washington, D.C., but that was a deal. Then for a while, in the early 70s, they were simulcasting with WMCA on a black and white talk program. Oh, man, don't even want to know about that. And that was the deal. And then, of course, Sonderling later merged with Viacom, and that was when it was still Viacom before they decided they'd call it Viacom. Anyhow, that's the deal. But, yeah, RL was...
What are they doing now?
What
are they doing now?
Nothing that you want to know about. It's all news.
I can't even get them now with all this, this big pile up of stations now. I cannot get it.
Right. It's owned by iHeart. It's part of BIN, the Black Information Network. It's all news. The problem is that at night they're very directional, 5,000 watts at 1600. So the transmitter's in Secaucus. That's the deal.
I thought that they were, someone told me that they were an ethnic station in a few years ago. But
All News Black Information Network sounds pretty ethnic to me.
No. I mean, they were playing foreign music.
There again, a dollar a holler, who buys the time?
They were doing
South Asian talk and Indian music.
That was the word I was looking for, Asian music.
Right. That was when they were part of Radio Zindagi.
And
that's before Clear Channel bought them. But yeah, that was a deal, and they actually paid a lot of money for that. But anyhow, I think iHeart bought them a couple of years ago, actually, and they've been LMAing it. So now you know.
Now I know. Hey, thanks for answering my radio questions and getting my giving me my fix on talking radio with you.
Oh, happy to do it, and I'll find that stuff on BEE and see if I can add anything to what I managed to tell you.
Okay,
all
hey,
right,
thank
thanks.
You a lot.
Appreciate
Have
it.
A great night.
You too.
Bye now.
And that's where we'll pick it up next hour with Fran and James and you on WGN Radio.
I wonder why nobody don't like me. Or is it the fact that I'm ugly? I wonder why nobody don't like me. Or is it a fact that I'm ugly? I leave my whole house and go. My children don't want me no more. Bad talk inside the house they bring. And when I talk, they start to sing. Mama look up, boo boo. They shout. Their mother tell them, shut up your mouth. That is your daddy. Oh no. My daddy can't be ugly, so shut your mouth, go away. Mama look a boo boo day. Shut your mouth, go away. Mama look a boo boo day. I couldn't even digest me supper. The children's behavior. John, yes, Pa, come here a moment. Ring the belt, you're much too impudent. John says it's James who stopped it first. James tells the story in reverse. I drag my belt from off me waist. You should hear them screaming round the place. Mama look up, boo boo. They shout. Their mother tell them, shut up your mouth. That is your daddy. Oh no. My daddy can be ugly, so shut your mouth, go away. Mama look up, boo boo day.
WGN Radio. I'm Riley James, away. And Marianne in Chicago Mama said anything by Harry Belafonte. So I thought, okay. Originally, Mama Look at Boo Boo, B-U-B-U. Later in the States, retitled Mama Look a Boo Boo. That was, of course, Harry Belafonte, who was filming in Trinidad, and he heard that. It was a huge West Indies hit. And he said, I'm going to do that. And so that was the cover, originally Lord Melody, Lord Burgess, and all that. And it got to number 10 on the R&B charts, 11 on the pop charts. And there you have Mama Look at Boo Boo. So 888-876-5593 is 8888 Raleigh. So a little late, but I did find the WBEE notes I had, and actually I did pretty good on that, I'll tell you what. But I forgot to mention that it was when it first started, 250 watts in 1955, and Herb Kent was on it. And of course Herb Kent was on a lot of stations, but that's where a fan club gave him the name the Cool Gent. And of course, that stuck, to say the least. He left for WJOB for a year, then went back to BEE, and then BEE had a big strike in 1960, and that's when Herb went to HFC, which of course is what became VON. So 888-876-5593 is 8888 Raleigh, and Fran is in Austin. What's up, Fran?
Oh, not a whole lot. I was just kind of laughing. I like that song. I love Harry Belafonte anyway, but I always get a kick out of that song.
Absolutely. You know, what other song can you name that has impudent in the lyrics?
I was just going to say that. Yeah. It's funny you should say that, because I was just going to say, how many songs have that word in?
Right.
And then there was, it's like... Don't worry, be happy.
Right, right, exactly. Litigate. Every time I hear this, who the hell puts litigate in a song? Yes, exactly.
But, oh, I mean, you talk about diets. I've been on some diets.
Uh-oh.
Let's see. I was on a diet of nothing but, of all things, popcorn and apples.
Now, what possessed you?
I read it. Somewhere somebody read it to me in a magazine or something, and they had lost 10 pounds in a week.
Yeah, I just looked it up. Apparently, this has...
I had nothing but popcorn and apples, and you couldn't put butter on the popcorn.
Well, of course not. Of course
not. To me, is the best part of the popcorn is the melted butter.
Well, right, right, and salt. Salt. Don't forget the salt. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, got to have all that butter and salt. I could put... I put seasonings, different seasonings on it to try to make it taste different, you know, and better. And that's what I'd have, breakfast, you know, whatever time. And I did lose 8.5 pounds the first week.
Whoa.
So I did it, and, you know, I think I managed on that for about 2 weeks until I could not stand the smell or thought of either popcorn or apples. And in fact, it took me about 5 years before I could even stand the smell of popcorn, even at a movie theater with all that yummy stuff on it.
You know, I just looked this up, and apparently in the 80s it was a big enough diet that people got that it gets entire articles about this.
That was when I was on it in the 80s.
Yeah, you weren't alone, obviously. And the theory was to cut calories by replacing one meal with popcorn. That's the start of it. So like air popped popcorn for breakfast, lunch, or dinner, but not as a snack, of course. And you couldn't add the butter or the salt. So like you say, special seasonings were suggested, made with superfoods like mushrooms and pomegranate juice.
I didn't use any of that. I just used kind of like lemon pepper or, you know, things other than sometimes I did cheat and put a little salt on it. But, you know, it's like I've got to have something. Let's see. Then I did Slim Fast. The only thing with that was that you were supposed to do your Slim Fast shakes and then eat a quote-unquote sensible dinner. Well, I decided that I was going to lose weight, so I wasn't going to bother with a sensible dinner.
Mm-hmm.
So I just drank two Slim Fast shakes a day, and the rest of the day I drank water.
Mm-hmm.
And I managed on that for about a couple of months on that. And then, of course, I had those nice little white pills. I went on those for a while.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That didn't help my sleeping problems. Well, that was kind of a twofold thing because a lot of times I would, you know, be up all night and then I'd have to get up and go to school because I just, you know, I'm not a morning person. And so one day somebody, you know, gave me some of those and said, hey, you know, this will keep you awake today, you know.
That it will, yes, uh-huh, as advertised.
And I also noticed that I wasn't hungry.
At all, yep.
Yeah, and so...
when did it occur to you that...
When my mother thought I was sick because I wouldn't eat dinner.
Well, or anything else.
That never happened.
when did you realize that maybe this wasn't the best idea you'd come up with?
When I passed out.
Oh, well, that would do it.
Yeah. I was in a choir performance. It wasn't even a rehearsal, it was a performance.
Oh, jeez.
And I told the, you know, the girl that was standing next to me, I was in about, I guess, I was still in high school.
Okay.
Anyway, I told the girl next to me, I gotta sit down. And the next thing I know, there's all these people surrounding me trying to see if I'm okay, you know, all this kind of stuff. And I thought, okay, maybe I better rethink this. you know, because it was kind of a twofold thing. I was using it to stay awake during the day because, and also to not eat. And then I went on the cabbage soup diet.
Oh, God.
I think it was cabbage, onion, tomatoes. Oh, I can't remember what all was in it, but yeah, what you would do with that one was you would fast for 3 days, have nothing but clear fruit juices, or water, or bouillon, or, you know, something like that, and then the third day you ate this soup, and you ate nothing but this soup, And then after a couple of weeks, you could start introducing things like, you know, maybe some fish or a chicken breast or something like that.
If you live that long.
Yeah. The thing is, I have lost so much weight in my life. I've lost maybe probably 4 or 5 times me.
Right, and gained it all back.
And gain, yeah. I'm like, you know, a yo-yo, boing, yeah. boing, you know, and it just never stays off. So,
well, that's the key. Like I say, there's riches to anybody who can figure out how to keep the weight off, because there's
shortage
of this.
You know, like all the diet programs are saying, you can take the weight off and keep it off.
Yeah, right. They're lying through their teeth.
Yeah. I mean, if you, the thing that you're supposed to do, and I cannot do this, is find a way of eating that is healthy that you like.
No. See, that's an oxymoron.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly what I was going to say. You know, I like all the stuff. I can't remember who it was that said anything that's any good is either illegal, immoral, or fattening.
Well, but it's absolutely true, and I still
say... I think it was Dorothy Parker, but I'm
makes,
not sure.
Makes sense. But the deal is that this is the universe's worst trick ever. If we have to be in a body, if we have to exist in a corporeal state, we should at least get to enjoy the things we like. They should be good for us. Something went very wrong here.
Yeah, you know, and the older you get, the more you should be able to enjoy.
Well, absolutely.
It's so. Totally backwards. I mean, you know, you should enjoy, various things more.
Yeah, it makes no sense. But as I say, there's obviously no shortage of these diets, and one of them just worse than the next, and they're not new. Like I say, I remember so well that Metrical for Lunch Bunch stuff.
And, Oh, yeah.
And that's, I think that's what started those horrible shakes.
That stuff was awful.
Oh, I know. It was like made of soybeans and corn oil and milk.
I remember because I had a weight problem when I was a child also. And so, you know, I was doing that stuff at that time.
Right, no, absolutely.
I tried it and was like, no.
It tasted like the stuff they'd make you drink before a medical test.
It does.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. Right. It's like there must be something medicinal about it. It's just terrible.
And then there was that stuff, I can't remember what it was, that tasted like you were drinking chalk.
Well, it could have been Sago, but there were so many, just like it, but Sago was sort of a metric.
Sago was supposed to make you gain weight, I think.
No, really? Oh,
yeah,
God.
I think Sago was the one that was, because there was one that was supposed to make you gain weight, because it's weird. When my mother was young, she was very, very thin, and they were always trying to make her gain weight.
I think Sego
what happened here? You know, how did I get?
I'm pretty sure it was a weight loss thing, though, because I think it was.
Maybe I'm remembering that wrong. I mean, it's been a long time.
Sego was owned by Pet, you know, the condensed milk people. And So, yeah. And then, of course, Slender. I mean, we could go on and on with the things that people would be willing to consume, but I think it was started by Metrical. And, you know, all the commercials were the same. They would basically have some woman reminiscing about how she used to be thin and she needs to get back there so she'll be attractive to men. So I thought, well, I guess they're not trying to sell this product to men. They'd sell it to anybody who'd buy it, but...
No.
Yeah, clearly.
And that's the thing, you know, we get these messages that we're supposed to be thin and, you know, all this stuff, and some of the... You know, the stuff they want us to be is just downright unrealistic. And,
well, right. It is.
I would be a large woman in any case. You know, because I'm kind of large built.
Yeah.
But I've gotten, my weight is stable. It's not where I want it to be. I'd like to lose another, you know, maybe, 30 pounds.
Okay.
But, I just try, and it's hard, but I try to eat what I like, but eat less of it.
Yeah, and that's all you can do, really, sensibly, all you can do is try to eat less of the things that are not good for you and, you know, more of the things that are. But anything draconian, nobody's going to stay on it. And, you know, I'm not a big fan of diet anything because I don't like the fake stuff. You know, I'm going to drink a Coca-Cola. If I shouldn't be having those calories, then I'm not going to drink a Diet Coke. I'm just not going to drink anything.
That's me. I don't drink Diet Coke.
Right. You know. And remember when Jell-O came out with Deserta?
A weird stuff.
Yeah,
yep.
Yeah. So no. It's just moderation. Is
that stuff
is the
that
key.
Had that weird kind of spongy?
Yeah,
it was supposed to be meringue, but you can prove it by me.
Right. It came out of a laboratory and tasted it.
Yes. Exactly.
Well,
and my mother would give it to me like she was giving me a treat.
No.
Oh, you know, well, if you eat all your, you know, you can have some dessert up. Like, I think I'll pass.
Well, exactly. So, yeah, made without sugar, and they were proud of it.
Oh, yeah. No. You know, yeah. Give me sugar. If I can't have that, I'll just drink water or something. Or
well, tea. That's it. Exactly. Yeah, I don't want to know anything about
them. I don't like it. Diet sodas, to me, they taste like soap. Or something,
or worse. They taste like chemicals, and they are chemicals. Yes.
Yeah.
All right. Well, always good to hear from you. We've been, having Adam, who is just sick as a dog tonight. And
I'm feeling bad for him. I've had my share of stomach stuff, so I understand, and I know you do.
Oh, yeah.
And also, thank you for playing my request.
Absolutely, and we'll talk to you soon.
Okay. Thanks.
Okay. Bye. Yeah, all these products in the name of weight loss. I'm telling you, if they could ever come up with something that really worked long term that we could stay on, and it wasn't going to be Seago, Slender, Metrical, or Deserta. That's for darn sure. Metrical had wafers too. Oh, I don't even want to talk about it. We're going to get to KB, who's a first time caller in Buffalo. All right, speaking of KB, well, that's perfect for Buffalo, isn't it? All right, so KB, welcome to WGN Radio.
Where else would KB be from but Buffalo,
That's
right?
That's exactly right.
That's my name, KB.
Oh, wow. All right. Well, good deal.
Okay. I've got three things here. First of all, my diet.
Yes.
This is a really great diet. I had a friend that if there was a pyramid, she was involved in it. And it was called Cookies for Life.
Yeah.
Now, wouldn't you... I mean, doesn't that sound really tempting to you? You can lose weight by eating cookies?
No, there's a catch in this somewhere.
Chocolate chip cookies, great big cookies, expensive cookies.
Uh-huh.
Okay, so I bought a 3-month supply of them. This was in the 80s.
Uh-huh.
Oh, my God. They were chocolate chip cookies, all right. But when you started to eat them, something happened to your saliva.
Oh, no.
Like it disappeared. And you couldn't swallow these cookies. I mean, they just turned into a big wad of, I don't know what, in your mouth. But boy, were there chocolate chips in there. But know what else was in there that you could taste and they would get in your teeth? Figs.
Uh-huh. Well, they're natural.
Chocolate chip.
Figs. No, they're natural. You know, they still sell this
product. Chocolate chip cookies with figs.
They still sell this product.
I don't know.
Oh, no, they do. It's on Amazon. You can buy it right now. You can get a 5-week...
Cookies for Life?
Yes, you can get a... Actually, this is called Smart for Life Cookies. Probably a different company, but 5 weeks, $299 for 5 weeks of collagen-infused cookies.
Oh, well, I didn't pay that much, and I would say that anyone that would get on this diet is not smart at all.
It's hilarious.
Okay. Then I would like to make a request.
Yes.
I would like to hear Soul Driven by the Mods.
Oh, wow. All right.
I love that. And that's a Chicago thing.
Yeah. Okay.
And then, I hate to do this, Raleigh, but I have to correct something that you said, I think, last week.
Oh, okay.
You were talking about Scott English.
Oh, High on a Hill, yes, and Brandy.
Yeah, and you said he wrote Brandy, the song by the Looking Glass. Yeah.
Hang on a minute. Don't go away. Stay right. Hang on. Don't go away. Stay where you are. Because John says, I got a break for the news right now. So we're going to pick it up in a moment. Stay right where you are, KB. All right. And that's what we'll discuss coming up on WGN Radio. Radio. I'm Raleigh James. Well, KB was right. It's certainly a Chicago record, probably nowhere else, but it was huge in Chicago there for a minute. On Mercury, too, the Mauds, and the guy who was lead singer for them, Jimmy, I forget his last name, but I think he died in about 2010, and yeah, but was instrumental in all sorts of things before that. All right, so we're talking to KB about Scott English, who, of course, if you're from Pittsburgh, High on a Hill, still probably the biggest oldie ever. And yes, he did write Brandy, which actually was Mandy. And if I said that it was the Looking Glass, that's why they changed the name. Are you there?
Yeah, yeah, you did. You said it was Looking Glass.
No,
I read this article.
No, the Looking Glass, by the way, is why they changed the name, because Elliot Lurie's group from Rutgers University, the Looking Glass, had Brandy, so they came up with Mandy, which was the Barry Manilow hit, and that's what Scott English wrote. See, that's what.
Oh, okay.
See, he wrote it.
I get it.
Yeah, he wrote it as Brandy. And then here comes Scott. Here comes Elliot Lurie, this kid from Rutgers, and the Looking Glass has a hit with it. Well, they had to do something because it was right around the same time, and so they changed it to Mandy.
Okay. Well, I read that he hated Barry Manilow's Mandy. He just hated it.
Yeah.
But he said as the money kept pouring in, he started to really love it.
Yeah, absolutely. He recorded it as Brandy, and it was a big hit in the UK.
You know what?
What?
They actually played Brandy on KB in Buffalo.
Okay.
By Scott English.
But, you know, Scott English actually wrote all sorts of, like I say, if you're from Pittsburgh, that really High on a Hill is the biggest ever oldie in Pittsburgh. But he also co-wrote Bend Me, Shape Me, the American Breed hit. And, wrote Help Me Girl, which was, the Animals and a bunch of other stuff as well. But it's inexplicable to me why High on a Hill is so big in Pittsburgh.
Oh, I agree. I can't really get into that song at all.
Well, you know, I don't mind the song, but to be like the biggest ever, it's like, what the hell? Is it in the water? I don't know.
I don't know.
Yeah.
No, I tried to like the song because I love Brandy and I love Bend Me, Shape Me and all that, but I just can't even get it. I can't even make it through listening to High on a Hill.
Yeah. Yeah, well, it's certainly an acquired taste, we'll say that, but it's you just never know. Well, I'm so glad that you called, and I hope you're going to do it again.
Oh, I think I will.
And I'm counting on it.
And thank you for my song.
Oh, absolutely. Yes, the Mods. Where else would you hear it? All right. Thanks. Appreciate
well, thank
it.
Thank you.
All right. So,
bye-bye.
Yeah, it was not a tremendously well-produced record. It was on Mercury, though, but it was big in Chicago, tell you what. Yeah, and I'm trying to think. Jimmy, it was J-I-M-Y. I can't think of his last name right now, but he was head of the Mods. All right, so 888-876-5593. 8888 Raleigh. Now we'll get to James, who sends us all these 9,832 stories each day. And I told you the other day, though, that I'd find out about the background of Jorge Lechazo. This was the guy in Boca Raton. And you'll remember that he wound up as an assistant delivery man going to a 70-year-old woman's house, delivering the washer and dryer, bludgeoning her to death, and setting her on fire. And so I said, no, I got to know. Well, so here is the deal. We have Jorge Dupre Lechazo, and lived in Hialeah. And originally he was from Cuba, and he was, as a kid, went to live with relatives. And here he is, I guess, in 2014, an uncle sponsored him to come to America. And he was living with his mother and his stepdad. And he wound up spending a couple of years at Miami Springs High. And then he dropped out. He got his GED. And his driver's license was suspended after he didn't show up for a hearing for drunk driving, I think. He piled up about 15 citations in a couple of years, including speeding and knowingly driving without a license. But all small stuff. Then in 2018, he was caught stealing a cell phone off a convenience counter and originally charged with felony grand theft, but that was plead down to misdemeanor and dropped after a pretrial diversion. And then he went to work for this delivery company. It was a Hialeah-based delivery company. And many times when you buy an item from a store and they'll deliver it, it's not actually the store that's delivering it. They're employing third parties to do that. And so that's what the delivery company in Hialeah did. They hired him as part of a two-person team. And so here comes Evelyn Udo. She was from Pennsylvania, actually. I think she was a retired librarian. And she and her husband had moved to Florida. So she goes into, in this case, Best Buy, and buys a washer and dryer at the Glade store. And the bottom line was, you know, she assumed that Best Buy is delivering the appliances. Well, here comes the subcontractor. And what they had contracted with was J.B. Hunt, who is, you know, you see their trucks everywhere. They're one of the nation's larger freight carriers. But what Hunt did was they brought the items from one distribution center to another. It used subcontractors for the last mile. So here we have Best Buy, who has a deal with J.B. Hunt. J.B. Hunt has a deal with XM Delivery. XM Delivery is employing this guy who is a Cuban immigrant with some petty theft and stuff behind him. And apparently, he shows up for work and working with a driver whose usual helper was out of town. They climb into the white unmarked delivery truck. They pull out of the warehouse, and they've got three calls in Boca Raton. The first one was replacing a dented door on a refrigerator. The second was installing a television. And then the third was at this woman's, Evelyn Udell, her single-story home in the Colonnades in the Glen Oaks, right by Yamato Roads, in case you're keeping up with this in Boca Raton. All right, so here is Evelyn Udell. She's the only person home. The men were about 40 minutes behind schedule by 9 a.m. already, so they disconnect the old appliance, they roll them out, they tie them down. They use box cutters, get the new appliances out of the cartons, roll them into the house, and they had to remove the laundry room door to get them in. And so at that point, the driver, Gonzalez, said to his assistant, Lechazo, stay in there and tell her how to use the new machines, answer any questions she might have. And he's out calling the office, returning his delivery calls, where he's hearing a woman inside the house screaming. So he tries to run in. The front door's now locked. He sees the double-wide garage door coming down. He steps in. In the laundry room, it's a bloody mess. And then he sees the woman, and his assistant, Lachazo, is acting strangely. And he's saying, let's go. And in the meantime, Gonzalez is near going nowhere. Dials 911 and says, I need the police. And dispatcher asks if he needed just paramedics or police. He says, I need both. Well, so meanwhile, here's Gonzalez talking to the dispatchers. Here's Lachazo running out of the house, jumping into the truck and taking it off. And so by now he's on St. Andrews Boulevard, Big Street. And the officer saw it, but because the truck wasn't marked, they didn't realize that here was the guy who committed the crime that they were going to investigate. And then they did hear, wait a minute, the dispatcher says, this is, you know, this is the truck. So they managed to stop him. And he was just about to get on the turnpike, actually. And meanwhile, back in the laundry room, the city police were there, and they find Udell. And she's alive. She lived a couple days, actually, sadly, because this was terrible. She has a large gash on her head from where Lachazo had beaten her. And then her clothes were on fire. There's a paper towel next to her. A firefighter threw water on her to douse the blaze. By now, there's a haze throughout the house. The dryer's running. Udell is on the floor next to a bloody wine bottle, and this is an absolute mess. So you're saying, what that? And my whole story when we talked about this is, who is this guy? What is this? And it turns out that the guy, yes, he had done some drugs, but more to the point, he was just, there's really no other way to say it, plumb crazy. And he thought someone was following him, and he thought that he was instructed to kill this woman. Otherwise, the people who were talking to him in his head were going to kill his mother. And he claimed that there are people nearby who are blackmailing me and tailing me, and I had to kill her or they were going to kill my mother. I had no choice. And it is just, you know, you look at this and say, how could this be? Well, the bottom line is that was his confession, and he was serious as a heart attack. He believed it. He walked in and was showing her how to use the machine, and at that point, he was instructed to strike this 75-year-old woman with a mallet. So he does. Then he shuts the big garage door, returns to the laundry room, and douses her with a chemical. And the deal is taken to jail, obviously. And he calls a friend while he's in jail, and the friend says, they told me they were evaluating you psychologically, and he replied, yeah, but you know the whole world knows there's nothing wrong with me. Okay, and so meanwhile, when questioned, he said that Udell actually was very nice and had shown them the property and all that, and he took photographs of the installation and all that. Bottom line is Lachazo was not in that house more than 15 minutes, and he says, I didn't know it was supposed to happen. And then a detective said, you know exactly because you were there. And his answer at that point was, are you telling me I did something to her? Yeah, I trust in God. I didn't do anything bad. And there you go. So you've got a kid who is, you know, a petty guy, lots of traffic tickets and some minor thefts. But bottom line, what you're talking about is somebody who was obviously emotionally troubled on every level. And he mentioned that he'd been molested and he was unable to sleep and he doesn't have enough money to help his mother. And the men threatened to kill his mother unless he committed robberies for them. And he admitted it. And so there you have it. So that's the story, because I said, we got to find out about who is this person. Well, that's who it is. And he claims that he doesn't even remember most of it, but he said, it was the biggest mistake of my life, but I was threatened. Okay, just how horrible. And then after detectives walked him through that, he said, well, how is the lady? And, of course, ultimately, the lady died. And as I say, after that much injury, yeah. And it's people behaving badly. It's story after story after story. But I promised you I'd check on Dupre Lachazo, and now you know. So 888-876-5593 on WGN Radio.
song d'amour. Ratatala. Play encore. Here in my heart.
James, and that's Art and Dottie Todd on the Era label, Lou Bedell and Herb Newman's Era Records, and 1957, and Chanson d'Amour. And they had a number of records and on a number of labels, whether it was RCA or Diamond or Era, as I mentioned, or Dart, some stuff on Decca. And I guess Chanson d'Amour was probably the closest thing to a really, really big hit. And it was, actually. It was, I think, like number 10 in the U.S. and about number 12 in Great Britain, or vice versa. I don't remember. In the meantime, I'd say that was their biggest. But, they were on Reprise for a while. You name it. But never broke into the really, really, really big time. So, Art and Dottie Todd. And the worst part about this is I don't remember who requested it. I had it on my list. I should look, because Carol keeps me honest about these things. But I've twice printed out the request tonight, and I've lost them both times. So now I've given up, is what it is. But I've got enough of them to get through the next hour of your requests, and or maybe I'll just play what I want to hear. And in the meantime, if it's on your mind, as always, it'll be on mine. But what would I be without the 3,022 links that we got today from, it's a little exaggeration, but you'd be surprised how very little, from James on the South Side, who, once again, you have outdone yourself of people behaving badly. Now, what's really frightening, James, is you probably send me over 100 of these stories in any one clip, and I assume there might be something else to send. Are you specializing in the people behaving badly genre?
I know, but sometimes it seems like I don't want to go because then they have these sometimes they'll have like the political ones, and I say, I want to stay away from that.
Yeah, we want to stay away from that. Absolutely. I don't know who Don Lemon is, and I have absolutely no idea why Tucker Carlson was fired. So that's all I can say. I don't know. All right. So,
I say, those ones that they do, I group them together so you can dump them together.
Right, exactly. Yes, the live updates from the Ukraine, I really can't speak to either, though. That sounds like just an absolute mess. But we have, the good news, conductor spots three-year-old boy on the tracks and stops the locomotive so he can save him.
Yeah, that was beautiful.
Yeah, and so now the next question is, exactly why is there a three-year-old child on the tracks? Now, allegedly he wandered away from his mother and tumbled over a wall and wound up on the commuter train tracks. Now, wouldn't you think that mom would have, in fact, noticed that the kid was gone before he made it to the tracks?
I would think so, but apparently maybe she got too busy with the other kid, and that's the only thing I can think of for why it got to that point.
I don't know, but that was a good news story. We liked that all the way around. So that was, train conductor was a hero. And I'm sure risked a bit, too, because you don't stop on a dime at 70 miles an hour while you got a locomotive going. So good for him.
Yeah.
But
then there was this weird story out of San Fran where supposedly now this former San Fran fire commissioner had been the unfortunate victim of somebody who had hit him over the head, and now of course supposedly they are claiming that he's the shadowy figure who has assaulted 8 homeless men in a rather similar manner.
Yeah, it's not good. But meanwhile, the FBI is issuing a dire warning to us, saying Americans don't go to the Caribbean because crime is skyrocketing. I'm like, well, don't stay home either. It's skyrocketing here too. So apparently,
I mean, unfortunately, SpaceX rockets aren't yet ready to take us to the moon.
Hang on a minute, don't go away. I'm blowing the news again. Stay right where you are.
Okay.
On WGN Radio. Last night, I said, well, I'm going to need to play something else by the Stereos because almost nothing that they've done other than that gets much airplay. And so it is that Echo in My Heart was, it was on Columbia. And I think that probably was 1962, but around there anyway. So, the Stereos were just terrific. Steubenville, Ohio, actually. So 888-876-5593. We'll get back to James and more stories in a moment. But speaking of the Stereos, I think it was JT who had requested them originally. And I lost James. James, call me back. I'm sorry. I lost him. All right, JT, we'll see if I can keep you. So, welcome back.
Okay. Well, I'm glad to be back.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. So, what do you want to hear?
Okay. Oh, well, let me try for the Diamonds. She Said.
Oh, yes, yeah, She Say. Okay.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. She Say. That's what it is. Thanks for Chanson de Amour.
Oh, that was, okay. I knew somebody requested. I couldn't remember who. All right. So, yeah.
All right. Go ahead. Fine show. I enjoy it every night.
Great to have you listening, and I'll play She Say next.
Okay, great.
Okay, thanks.
Appreciate
it. All right, yeah. Like I say, that Beach Nut clip, the Dick Clark Saturday Night Beach Nut show of the Diamonds lip syncing, that is just priceless. All right, so Stacy is in Algonquin. Welcome back to WGN Radio.
Hello, Raleigh. How are you doing?
All right, how do you feel?
Well, do you want the good news first or
bad news? Well, you went to the doctor yesterday. Tell me about the foot.
Okay, I went Monday.
Monday, yeah.
And she said, I have to see a wound doctor.
Okay, all right.
Because, you know, it keeps on...
It's not
the
healing.
The one leg, it keeps on opening up. So
right.
She gave me an order for that for
yes.
the hospital.
Yes.
So, and then I asked her, I said, can you still give me the antibiotic? Because when you gave me the antibiotic for the leg, I said it worked. So she gave me the clindamycin. You know, and I've been taking that 3 times a day. And I think I've been okay, but your medicine.
Yeah, I want you to see this wound, doctor. This is really important. Okay.
Really, I did set up the appointment.
All right.
At Sherman Hospital.
Okay. Well, wherever it is, I'll trust your doctor for knowing the right person. But
She's not my main doctor, but she's the one who took care of my leg when Dr. Peterson wasn't there.
You don't want to be on clindamycin long term, because it can cause other problems, side effect problems that can be pretty serious. Not to mention that it may cease to be really effective. But
what can it do? What can it do?
Oh well, you know, I mean, again, this is long term. It can, like any antibiotic, it can cause overgrowth of bacteria, and so when you get into that, clindamycin in particularly can go into inflammation, like colitis and things like that. You know, stomach issues. So you usually reserve clindamycin for after everything else doesn't work because of that. Now, I don't think you've had any stomach issues, so that's great, but you also don't
no,
want
it. No, because I take, water and then, some food with it.
Of course.
I'm pretty okay with it.
Right.
I'm doing it,
long-term.
The right way.
Right, just not long-term. All right, but...
No, but I made the appointment at Sherman.
And you're going to go.
Yeah, I'm going to have, my helper at home, Karen, will take me because I don't want to go to the hospital. I have to have somebody with me.
When are you going?
That's May the 8th.
Okay, it's kind of far away, but all right.
I think 1:15.
Okay, all right. Yeah, this is really, really important because whenever you have diabetes and you start to have wounds that are slow healing, especially on your feet, that can be dangerous. And so we want to nip this in the bud. Take it deadly seriously. My morning man on one of my stations, I told him this for years when he wound up with a toe thing that wouldn't heal, and he ultimately lost his toe. So,
my goodness.
And he didn't have to. But that's why I'm preventing you from that. Go ahead and make sure you go.
And I'm going to call my new foot doctor so he can take care of, my toes and everything.
Well, right, and your
nails.
And
I made my dentist appointment.
Okay. Well, good.
And what else? So I'm trying to make the appointments, and I'll do the foot doctor, too.
Yes.
It's just... I have to do one thing at a time, but I'll do everything.
The most important thing is the foot. I'm much less worried about anything else you're telling me.
Okay. I will. I'll watch that, and I'll keep my appointment. Karen will go with me.
Okay, good. Good.
But anyway, it just kind of, with the pills and stuff, I mean, I do it like 3 times a day.
Uh-huh.
With the medicine, but I take food and I take water and stuff with it, so I'm pretty much okay.
You are right now. We just don't want you doing this long term.
Yeah, because and then sometimes it was shopping days, so afterwards I just kind of rested after I got to tell you, today it was shopping day, so when Karen was out, I'm sitting in the bathroom, the lights go out.
Okay.
So I said, oh, no, not again. So I had to find my way out of that situation. I called the police. I said, what's happening again? I said, so the officer said, well, I don't know what's going on. So he said, maybe call Commonwealth Edison and see, what's going on. So I said, okay. So then finally I got out and I called, and they said there was 123 homes in the area that were affected. It was like next door, like by my neighbor, not really on my property, but kind of like on his side. It was like some type of wire fell down.
Okay.
And I'm thinking, oh my God, I've got groceries. And but I didn't panic. I just got, you know, one of my little lanterns, and then I kept calling ComEd. You know, they said, oh, we're going to, and it was, sure enough, Commonwealth, the truck was in front of my neighbor, right next to me on the left-hand side, Eric. And I saw the guy, you know, because Karen came back, I told her, with the food. And but everything was okay because the refrigerator, you know, I put stuff in real quick and it was still cold. And she said it's like, it wasn't in my yard. It was kind of next to, between me on the right side in the backyard and Eric. But it seemed to have been like a wire.
Well, no, I mean, a lot of things like that can happen. But so how long were you without power?
Okay, so that was, let's see, maybe about an hour.
All right, well, that's nothing.
And then, oh, that's not the end of it. So then Karen had to go. So I said, you know, okay, and she, you know, and I kind of got a little upset, but I said, I know, God, you don't want me to, so I said, okay, and, you know, I was a little bit aggravated because, oh, I have to go, you know, pick up my son, and she seemed like she didn't even care or anything.
Well, that's probably not true. It's just that you are looking at it, of course, with all the concern of what's going on, and she's seeing it as, well, this is no big deal, and I have a bunch of other things I need to do. So it's just,
yeah, she went through it once, yeah, too.
All right, so
anyway, yeah. So then so the guy was still working next, and then I'm sitting there. And I was talking to Nora, who helps me with, you know, who's going to help me and stuff and all that. So then she said, Stacy, calm down and everything. Everything's going to be all right. And then the lights came on.
Was this at night?
No. It was like about 3 o'clock in the afternoon.
So let me ask you, why did that bother you tremendously?
Well, because I know God's here, but I'm
apart from God, why would that be any reason to panic or be upset if you're losing power for a couple hours in the middle of the day?
Well, I thought maybe with the food,
nah,
you know, the refrigerator and
only,
stuff.
Only if you left the door completely open, and even that, a couple hours wouldn't matter.
Oh. So I just got worried about Dad, and then, you know, they just, they just came up again, and I went around, I fixed a little alarm that was beeping, I fixed that, I went around, and my,
you know, all the clocks, you reset them and all those things, of course.
It really wasn't that bad with resetting, but I did it.
I'm concerned.
The weird thing was, you know, I put stuff away,
mm-hmm,
and then, like, an hour later, the power goes off again.
Okay.
And I call, and they said now 116 homes are affected by a wire underneath the ground.
Okay.
And so then they come out again.
And how long were you without power?
Okay. This time it was like about an hour.
All right. So, and see, the concern here is that this is throwing you, and it shouldn't. These are not things that should cause you to be tremendously upset. It happens. All right. So the power's out. So what? You know, that's there's nothing in it that should aggravate you to that extent or cause you to be anxious.
Well, at least when Ronaldo was Larry. I know.
Yeah.
But everything was okay, and
sure
then I was putting the stuff away, and I reset the little alarm and went around and turned off the beeping of the alarm. The clocks, certain things were okay, because I try not to keep too many lights on, just certain ones, you
It
know.
Was fine, Stacy. All worked out just fine. I want you to have less emotional angst about these kind of things. Just roll with them.
Okay.
Just
roll with
them.
I was better today, though.
Well, good.
I didn't really panic, and I sat down and I grabbed one of my little lanterns.
Well, good.
And, you know, I fixed my computer. I reset that.
All right.
And but the good thing, the law of abundance.
What'd you get?
Well, I think because of my birthday, too, because I didn't really check the mail for a couple of days.
Okay.
So my Calvin and Marcia, they sent me a card and they sent me money.
Good.
And then I got this anonymous little card, and it looked like it was from Atlanta.
Uh-huh.
And I found some money in there, and it said, "I'm so glad the way you handle things for everybody and make sure everybody's okay, and God bless you." And
good.
Such a nice thing. And it was like a 20 in there. And I said, who is, so I have an anonymous person.
Good.
And I said, oh boy, this is nice.
Well, excellent.
And, oh, what other good thing? Okay. That was good, and I know I'm supposed, okay, Tracy got back. She was out of town, so she's going to come over, and I think we sold, you know, one of Raldo's gun cabinets, so I should be getting another
good
check for that. So she's helping me with that stuff, and
it all sounds good.
You know, the other, and what bothers me is, like, when I'm calling, like, I'm talking to my sister-in-law, and I'm telling her the lights went out.
Right.
So she puts the phone down, and I said, Marcia, are you there? She puts the phone down, and she's doing something else.
Well, see, it's not, right, and basically, it's not a big deal, and so that's the way she reacted to it.
Hmm.
What would you want her to do? Because there's
just be a little concerned.
Well, there's no reason for concern is what I'm saying that I can find. For the power to be out, you know. Now, if you're telling me it's for 4 weeks, if you're telling me it's because it's 40 below zero or 120 and it's hours after hours, we got a problem. But when the power goes off every now and then for a while, so what? It's not an event. It doesn't require concern. So you just kind of roll with it. You know, I'll tell you. Funny story. Many years ago, I was still in high school, and my mother wanted to get a new typewriter, and so she said, "But I don't want an electric typewriter because what happens when the power goes off?" And of course, I'm just laughing hilariously. I'm thinking that she thinks she's still living in La Paz, Bolivia, where the power was off every day from 2 to 4. I said, "When is the last time you typed that the power went off? Tell me when." And of course, she couldn't. I said, "So go ahead and buy the damn electric typewriter." And that was, you know, I couldn't have been more than 14 at the time. But just the fact that she was saying this was like, are you people crazy? And so this is the same thing. The power goes off. Firstly, I don't know what it is that causes you to think that when you turn on the lights, they'll always come on. I'm always pleasantly surprised. You know, I mean, I don't take it for granted. Well, of course, I've lived in some awful power companies. The one I'm in right here is really nice. But hey, let me tell you, FP&L and APS, I'm shocked when the lights come on. But anyhow, you just roll with it. Again, if there was a reason for concern, you know, if the bear was at your door, then of course.
I had a husband before.
Well,
but then he would tell me, oh, Stacy, don't worry.
Well, that's right. Well, so now I want you to tell yourself, don't worry, because these are...
I did. I was pretty good.
Right. These are the kind...
I was pretty good, though,
well,
today.
And so you're going to get better. Roll with it. These are the kind of things that life throws at you. And if it's the worst that ever happens to you, you're living a charmed life. So don't worry. Don't worry about it. Again, it's 3 in the morning. It's 40 below zero. Yeah, I'm concerned if your power's out, if you have electric heat. But you were not in a life-threatening situation. Nothing was on fire. So...
And I took all my medicine.
Okay. And John says if I don't hang up, we're in trouble because I'm once again blowing a commercial break and the news. But you're going to be fine, Stacy. Just relax.
Okay.
Trust me. You will be fine.
I'll call you tomorrow. Okay. Tomorrow's my anniversary.
Absolutely. Definitely call me. I'll talk to you then.
You guys take care. All
right.
All my blessings.
You likewise. All right. So.
Bye-bye, Wally.
Okay, bye. Oh, good. James called back. Good. And I hung up on him, too. I sure didn't mean to. There's room for you, too, and I promise not to hang up on you. 888-876-5593 on WGN Radio.
She said I own the
WGN Radio. I'm Riley James, and yes, they're also Canadian like the Crew Cuts. They were the Diamonds, and I thought She Say was the best thing they ever did. Of course, almost all of the stuff they did were covers of R&B stuff, but She Say was, well, Barry Mann wrote it, yeah. The guy who did, who put the bump in the bump, 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 bump. Yeah, well, so that's all you really need to know. But as I mentioned probably too many times, is there is a clip of the Saturday Night Beach Nut Show, the Dick Clark Saturday Night Show, of the Diamonds lip-syncing that is just priceless. I mean, the song makes me laugh anyway. Yeah. The falsetto guy was terrific. But with this clip, it's just bliss as far as I'm concerned. So you can check that out. Most of the Diamonds, of course, no longer with us because they'd be, you know, about 90 now, most of them. And I think it was Dave Satterfield did lead, and he's been gone, wow, probably a decade. All right, so 888-876-5593. Back to James on the south side. And the deal with James, of course, is 336 stories today alone dealing with people behaving badly. Interesting trend of people shooting other people who drive up to their driveway.
Yeah, that's very disturbing. You just think, it used to be in the old days, you just simply say, oh, you wrong address.
You know, I'll tell you, it's only happened once to me where somebody shot at me because of a driveway thing. Not the only time I've been shot at, but for that reason. And it was interesting because this was right when all the deal about Bill Clinton's supposed shenanigans, and they were talking about MENA, and they were talking about Whitewater. So I decided that I'd do the Arkansas tour myself, and got in the car, of course, had to go to MENA and spend time there. I drive up to Whitewater, and sure enough, I find it all right, and I'm turning around in somebody's driveway, and they come out and try to shoot me. Like, oh, God, no wonder this little development didn't go over. But in most of the cases that we're talking about, a couple of them are very rural. But for the most part, you know, these are people in suburban homes who, you know, somebody's making a wrong turn and they come out and feel it's appropriate to shoot them. I don't get it.
It's okay. Unfortunately, it's the times we live with. I think people have basically lost some sense of decor.
It's
just simply somebody if somebody like knocks someone, I don't have to answer. Just simply, yeah. Or if I do, they really seem lost, I'll say, sorry, you wrong address. This isn't that.
Yeah, well, it's and literally, you gave me, you know, at least half a dozen stories alone on that, and it kind of breaks my heart because I am a staunch believer in the Second Amendment and people's right to bear arms, but with that right comes responsibility. And people behaving badly, I don't think you just look at it the other way and say, oh, no problem. And in some cases, that's exactly what's been going. From what I understand, the story with the Instacart people, nobody's even going to be prosecuted in that.
Yeah, and it's very, and then I think what's also scared people is when certain things that happen out and about, and they're like afraid that it's going to come to their door, like the poor lady on the bus who got, she got pretty much her purse pretty much got pulled from her while she was being dragged through the bus.
Yeah, it's, like I say, people behaving badly, but what I really don't understand is why suddenly the escalation. Now, I don't think it's just that it's a slow news cycle and we're looking for more of these stories. Things are happening more often, and it's obviously not only people with guns. In fact, that's probably less of it than you might expect, like the guy who bludgeoned the woman in Florida. It can be it can be anything. It's the people, not the weapon, but it's just interesting to me. And so now we have the FBI warning, don't go to the Caribbean. Yes, if you go to Haiti, you may wind up kidnapped. And so,
oh yeah, and then there's like something mentioned about Cancun where they found near there 8 more bodies.
Right. Yeah, well, and of course you look at some, especially some of the Mexican border cities, and it's like unbelievable the amount of open crime. So I don't get it. I guarantee you, no matter where you sit on the side, for instance, of gun control, taking the weapons away will not solve this.
Oh, no. In fact, they'll find something else.
Well, that's exactly right. This is a story of human being behavior. And I don't get it. I don't get any of it. But you send me all these wonderful stories, but my God, they're certainly getting worse by the day.
I almost expect to find some that I'm going to say, no, we haven't gone to the point where we're now okay. I do hope we don't go with really you probably say.
Well.
This has to be the end.
Yeah, let's hope. Thank you so much for all the wonderful stories. As always, it's great.
And
yes.
I do have a request.
You do, and what is it?
Okay, I was going to say Harry Belafonte, Jamaican Farewell.
Okay, all right. For you, I'll do it.
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
Good deal. Thanks.
Okay.
Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Yeah. Of course, that ties into all these Caribbean warnings right now. Farewell might be the best thing you can say. 888-876-5593. We'll review a little of the tabloids. Remember a couple of weeks ago, I believe it was the Inquirer, though I can't swear to it, talked about Taylor Swift's secret wedding that she and boyfriend Joe Alwyn had tied the knot while nobody knew it. Well, now, the Inquirer comes up with a big story that Taylor dumped him. So apparently, all is not happy in Taylor Swift land. And, you know, I believe this one about as much as I believe the one that she got married. But we'll talk about that if you want, or whatever's on your mind. Coming up on WGN Radio.
Down the way where the nights are gay and the sun shines daily on the mountaintop, I took a trip on a sailing ship, and when I reached Jamaica I made a stop. But I'm sad to say I'm on my way, won't be back for many a day. My heart is down, my head is turning around. I had to leave a little girl in Kingston Town. Down at the market, you can hear ladies cry out while on their heads they bear. Ackee rice, salt fish are nice, and the rum is fine any time of year. But I'm sad to say I'm on my way, won't be back for many a day. My heart is down, my head is turning around. I had to leave a little girl in Kingston Town. Sounds of laughter everywhere, and the dancing girls swaying to and fro. I must declare my heart is there, though I've been from Maine to Mexico. But I'm sad to say I'm on my way.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James, and that's James' request, Jamaica Farewell, and that originally Lord Burgess, and of course the big hit Harry Belafonte. And I must admit, Lord Burgess, who wrote probably over 40 songs for Harry Belafonte in the Caribbean genre, I always assumed that he was like some guy from Trinidad or something. Well, it turned out, no, he was a guy from New York. But he really probably more than anybody popularized Jamaican music. Now, it's appropriate that we play Harry Belafonte right now because, sadly, as you probably heard, he died 96 years old, and I think upstate New York. And he was huge, and so huge for a moment there, if you will. By the way, Upper West Side of Manhattan, 96, and congestive heart failure was the cause. And you know, he wasn't by any means the first black entertainer to transcend racial boundaries, not even close. But the splash he made, you know, again, a very brief period of time, but for a few years there, was just huge. And he was originally from Harlem. His parents were West Indian. And, you know, all the stuff that Lord Burgess wrote, Banana Boat Song and Jamaica Farewell and all that, he just made it huge. And his album Calypso, which was released in 1956, and it's an interesting time because this is right before Elvis started to just sell in huge numbers. So why I bring this up is that Calypso supposedly is the first time an album by a solo artist sold a million copies. And it did. And it was huge. And it was Harry Belafonte everywhere. It didn't hurt that he was a good-looking guy. And Idillo acting. And by 1959, he was the highest-paid black entertainer in history at that point. Las Vegas or Los Angeles or New York, you name it. And like I say, some movie stuff, but that was not really his forte or what he wanted to do. Really, by the time the 60s came around, you were looking at him more as a civil rights activist, because that was very near and dear to his heart. And it was interesting because the Washington Post did an interview with him a while ago, actually probably right after Martin Luther King was killed. And, you know, he said that he was at best ambivalent about his high profile in the civil rights movement. And he said, I hate marching. I hate being called at 3 a.m. to bail people out of jail. I'd like to stop answering questions as though I were a spokesperson for my people. And the reality, though, is that he was very much in touch throughout his life with the civil rights movement. And, you know, there you could talk about it on and on one way or another about Harry Belafonte. But when you get right down to it, it was a brief period of time. And granted, the Caribbean, the Calypso was just a craze, but no one was bigger than Harry Belafonte for a while. And so, yeah, rest in peace, Harry Belafonte. And so, yeah, what else can I say? I had heard the news, and yeah, I knew he was really getting up there in age and all that. So, man, I tell you, it was a life well lived and probably a good way to go. So rest in peace. All right. We thank Adam for keeping us on the air and hope his food poisoning will abate. We thank John for screening your calls. Above all, I thank you for calling. That's always a pleasure. We'll do it again tomorrow night, 21 hours from now. Until then, that's a wrap. And I'm Raleigh James on WGN Radio.